Ladies and gentlemen, we're back.
Yeah, sorry for that other delay. This is becoming a common thing now, isn't it?
Yes, it's damn those trains derailing us.
Is that going to be our thing now? The Entertainment Dome, it'll happen eventually.
Hopefully soon, like if we do have to miss one, we'll like be able to pre-record beforehand and at least you'll then get a show, but we'll try.
Yeah, it's numerous factors are making it a little bit more difficult to do the show.
Yeah.
It's especially annoying when like big things happen that give us plenty of topics to talk about, and then we have to delay the show for like a few weeks to the point where it becomes very outdated and we're very late to the conversation.
Yes, Michael has a huge book again.
Yes, I brought back the book because, in case you've forgotten, a few weeks ago there was a brand new Nintendo Direct. Boy, did Nintendo announce some stuff. Like, oh my god.
Like, at first I was like, oh, okay, oh, that's good. Oh, that's good, that's
We make
good.
This mistake
oh,
every
oh,
time.
Oh god!
We make this mistake every time, because we always assume, like, okay, like, we've had Nintendo Directs in the past that have been very lies on info, but, like, you know, sometimes they're not meant to be big things. They're not E3 every time. Mm-hmm. So go in with very minor expectations. And then it's like, oh god. Oh, what? Where did you... Why? What?
What is this?
So yeah, we're talking about it anyway, even though it's very late and some of this info is a little bit outdated, but there's plenty to talk about here and we've got things to... We have opinions.
Yeah,
we want to discuss
this.
We
have quite a bit of opinions.
So I may as well just start out with the fact that the Direct was... I wanted to note down who hosted the Direct. It was Yoshiaki Koizumi, who, if you don't know, is the Deputy General Manager of Nintendo EPD, the guy who produced Super Mario Odyssey. So seems like a very perfect guy to get over for the Direct. And I will say, you know, no one can replace Satoru Iwata, but this guy's doing a pretty damn good job. Like he's got his own brand of charisma, and he takes to the hosting the Nintendo Direct very well. I love the whole like finger snap thing he does to match with the Switch's. You know,
he's not trying to copy Iwata. He's doing his own thing, which is what you need to do.
Oh yeah, I think they knew that going in. But anyway, just wanted to give him a little shout out because, you know, he deserves it. He produced the fantastic Mario game, so.
A very, very excellent one.
So the first bit of the Direct, which was like, I think only the first 5 minutes, and they still managed to get a metric shit ton in, was all about the 3DS. And I've already heard like people in the aftermath of that Direct talking about, like, you know, oh, just let the 3DS die. Why are they still making games for the 3DS? And I'm like, maybe it's because the 3DS is still making the money.
Man.
I've never considered that possibility.
It's not the Wii U, guys.
Yes.
The Wii U guys hemorrhaged money. The 3DS makes money.
I'm not going to lie. I'm already pretty sick of like seeing every new 3DS game come out and everybody going, why didn't they make it for the Switch? And I was like, Christ, guys. People still play their 3DSs. I still play my 3DS.
I would still buy games if they were making stuff for the Vita, but they're not.
I know the 3DS is like on its way out, but it's still got a...
It's clearly still got a bit
of life in it. And
I'd still say it's got a couple of years.
Yeah, I think I heard somebody theorize that maybe what Nintendo is doing is that they're now releasing all the 3DS projects they started before Switch was out.
Yes.
So it wouldn't surprise me if they've got like a whole bunch of 3DS titles on the back burner that they're still trying to get through. Which I appreciate, rather than just cancel them outright or just like...
Or just move them to the Switch, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Because, again, I still like my 3DS. Because, you know, I know the Switch is portable, but it's still a bit bigger than the 3DS. So. But anyway, enough. I'm going to get off my soapbox. So the first 3DS game they announced was a new WarioWare game, which definitely surprised me.
Yes.
You ever played any of the WarioWare games, James?
No, I haven't, but it's one of those like series of games that are very popular with people. And
I've played like a few of them. I'm not like a diehard fan of the series myself, and I don't know if I'm going to get gold, but because that's what it is, WarioWare Gold, that's the title.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's great that they've made another one. I'm sure like fans of the series will love it. And it's a lot like that... Mario Party 3DS game they released a while back. You know, it was like, oh, the best 100 mini games in the entire Mario Party series.
Yeah.
Except what WarioWare Gold's doing is that not only is it like, have they brought back a whole bunch of like old micro games from the previous series, there's a bunch of new ones as well. And there's going to be over 300 of the things. So,
oh, Jesus.
It's good there's a nice balance. It makes sense they put in that many because the way the micro games, the reason they're called micro games for starters,
because they're micro games.
They're so short, they last like 5 seconds. So, and that's part of their appeal is the whole like the game starts. It's like you have an objective. What do you do? Which button? This one. And you
this one.
Win it. So yeah, cool. They're making it, and it's coming out July 27th in Europe at the very least. I'm going off EU dates and not American ones, just so you know, because I know we do have a couple of American listeners in listen to the show. What time is it over there? Oh, whatever. after that, we've also got another Dylan game, Dylan's Dead Heat Breakers. Apparently, this has already been out in Japan for a year or so now.
And oh, okay.
The West is only just getting it. Are you familiar with Dylan, James?
No,
I'm not. He's that armadillo guy with the cowboy hat.
I think I've seen it before.
He's been in a couple of 3DS games already, and he seems to have like a good audience going for it. Yeah, because okay. I know there are a few people that are really excited for Dead Heat Breakers, and it's like RPG tower defense kind of thing. I think the series has always been like very tower defense, but now
that's most probably why I haven't played it.
Yeah, the key difference with this one though is that you can now include your own Miis as characters in the game, and they'll join Dylan's party. And they'll like, obviously Dylan does this whole like rolling thing where he goes along like big race courses smashing into enemies and stuff like that, and then you've got like the Mii characters that operate like weaponry, like guns and like mechs and stuff like that. Also, for some, they make your Miis like dress up as animals, obviously to fit in with the style of the world. And of course, the first thing I thought that pops in my head when I saw it is like, oh, the Miis are furries now, okay. And I know this is like, because I watched Team 4 Stars' reaction video to that direct, and Kaiser Neko,
yes,
it, like the moment he saw one character, which is like this panther guy in a suit, he was like, "Oh, who's this guy?" Like, so I know there's like Dylan must have like a very like low key furry audience going.
Oh
for it
god!
Anyway, I'm not gonna just when I mention it. Not judging, just not judging. Do what you want. Anyway, that game's coming out May 25th. Mm-hmm. So it'd be interesting to see how well that does. Because I don't think the Dylan games have ever done like amazingly, but they seem to do well enough where
they're a niche audience.
He keeps getting sequels. He was an assist trophy in the last Smash Brothers, so he's
must be doing something right then.
Yeah, clearly. And this one really took me by surprise. They're remaking Mario and Luigi Bowser's Inside Story for the 3DS in, you know, a similar vein to the Superstar Saga remake they did end of last year. Mm-hmm. And Bowser's Inside Story is my favorite Mario and Luigi game, so I'm 100% down with a 3DS remake. For those who don't know, the plot of Bowser's Inside Story is all about Mario and Luigi getting all Great Voyage up in here and getting trapped inside Bowser's body. And Bowser unwittingly aids the Mario Brothers because Fourfall, the villain from Superstar Saga, comes back to take over the Mushroom Kingdom. And so Bowser has to stop him, and Mario and Luigi sort of do stuff in his body to help him fight and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And it's the closest thing we're ever going to get to Bowser having his own game. So if you missed it out the first time, I'd highly recommend getting the 3DS remake.
That's what I'll get, because I didn't play it, but I keep hearing loads of people
recommend it. Oh, it's a lot of fun. Only for Bowser. Bowser's like the best part of that game. That's coming out 2019, apparently. So, like, it's also going to include, because the Superstar Saga remake included like a new mode that was called Minions Quest or something, where you took control of Bowser's minions and explores like a side story that was going on in the background of Superstar Saga, where Bowser's minions work together to try and fight against Fourfall. And I played it for a bit. It's okay, but like, I'm going to be honest, they didn't need to add it. I feel like the only reason they put in Minions Quest in Superstar Saga for the 3DS was because they felt like just remaking the base game wouldn't be enough. They were like, we can't justify charging them full price for just a remake. Let's add in like a new mode to sort of make up for it. I'm like, guys, people loved Superstar Saga. You could have just had the base game and people would have still given you money for it. It's the same with Bowser's Inside Story. It's pretty much got the exact same mode from the looks of things, except now it's about Bowser Jr. And it's like, oh, now you can explore what Bowser Jr. was doing in the events of Bowser's Inside Story. And I'm like, going to be honest, I did not care what Bowser Jr. was doing. At no point in my mind was I thinking, I wonder what Bowser Jr. is doing at this point. Like, he's not even in the original game. So, yeah, like, unnecessary, but whatever. Like, I'm still going to play it.
Yeah.
But
who knows? It might be better.
I sincerely doubt that. But anyway, after that was... See, this is the first bit of outdated info we've got. They confirmed the official release date of Detective Pikachu, which was March 23rd. It is now the 28th at the time of recording. The game has come out, I've bought it, and I've beaten it. So
Michael's beaten it. I'm about a third of the way through it.
It's decent.
It's decent.
Yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, it's good.
Very obviously for kids.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
not
it's
bad.
It's very obviously made for kids. But, you know, it's great to have, like, a very unique Pokemon spin-off. I feel like we haven't had one of these in a while now.
Hmm. I definitely wouldn't agree what Polygon said, which was that it's the best Pokemon game in years, but...
Well, this is Polygon we're talking about here. I don't really take much of what they seriously. Not especially after one of their guys claims that Mario Kart was the worst-selling franchise of all time, even though the sales figures completely destroyed that argument.
Oh.
Anyway, so we'll probably save our opinions on Detective Pikachu for a future episode. I'm planning to write a review of it in a few weeks, so... You can look forward to that.
I'll wait until I finish it, which should take me like a couple of days.
Yeah,
you
can easily finish it like by tomorrow. But after that, Luigi's Mansion's getting a 3DS remake. I think this surprised a lot of people, because I think there were rumors going around that the Direct was going to announce a new DLC for Mario Odyssey. and that it was going to reveal a new kingdom based off of Luigi's Mansion. And I think somebody, obviously, either that was just completely fake and happened to coincide with what was announced, or
mistranslation,
or people got their wires crossed, because obviously this was what they were referring to. And I guess it makes sense to put a Luigi's Mansion remake on the 3DS, considering the sequel to Luigi's Mansion was a 3DS game.
Yeah.
I've heard mixed opinions about this one. Some people are really excited that it's getting remade for the 3DS. Some people aren't, and they kind of would have preferred if they just re-released the GameCube version on the Switch as like virtual console or something like that. And I really have no opinion on that whatsoever.
Why not both?
Yeah, why not both?
Both.
Both.
Both is good.
Yeah, I never played the first Luigi's Mansion. I did enjoy the second one, but I'm not. I don't think I enjoyed it enough to want to play the first game.
I'd say, as someone who completed the first game and only played a bit of the second, I think the first game is infinitely stronger than the second one.
Fair enough.
So I'd say I'd recommend playing the first game, but
there's nothing wrong with them remaking it. Chance for a new audience to discover
it.
But Luigi's Mansion was a bit of a cult classic when it first came out.
Mm-hmm. It was a damn good game. Really, actually quite creepy as well.
Yeah, that was what I think a lot of people found so endearing, was that it was a genuinely creepy game. And the fact you were playing as Luigi.
Who is infinitely better, just saying.
Yeah, Luigi's way better. Anyway, the 3DS version will also include a new boss rush mode. Obviously, it's going to have a couple bits of extra content. And it's due out later this year. I'm guessing maybe October, to coincide with
Halloween. Most probably.
After that, another bit of outdated info already. We got new info on Kirby Star Allies, which again is already out, and I own it. I played it on the way here. The information was to confirm that King Dedede, Meta Knight, and Bandana Waddledee could be recruited as co-op partners in the game. Because Kirby Star Allies, you can use your special heart friendship power, whatever it's called, to make enemies your allies, and there are these dream palaces in the game where if you go to them you get a random ally that you can summon to take part, and those include those three characters, which were the other playable characters in Return to Dreamland for the Wii, which is cool. I think that was a pretty that's a smart addition and a very welcome. But the bigger reveal that came out there out of this announcement was that Kirby Star Allies was to receive free DLC. That free DLC has come out today, actually. So if you've got Star Allies, you probably already know this. But the free DLC means new co-op partners again for the game. And it's all characters from previous Kirby games. One of them is a combination of Rick, Kine, and Koo from Kirby's Dream Land 2. And the way they work is that you play as Rick when you're on the ground. You play as Kine in the water because he's a fish. And if you fly in the air, he turns into Koo, who's a bird. And I've never played Dreamland 2, so I have no nostalgia for this, but I am familiar with these characters. So bringing them back, I think, is a really cool idea. Also, Gooey from Kirby's Dreamland 3 is another character. So again, he's like a little blue blob thing that uses his tongue. And probably most surprising of all is Marx from Kirby's Fun Pack. Are you familiar with Marx at all, James?
No.
Marx was super evil in that game. He was one of the final bosses. His plan was to take over the universe. He was an evil bastard, but I guess he's a friend now. So,
friends.
Yeah.
He turned Vegeta on us.
Pretty much, yeah. If you play the Kirby games, he's always dealing with these apocalyptic Cthulhu-esque nightmares from the ends of the universe.
It's Kirby!
This is how a Kirby game starts. Oh, Kirby lost his sandwich. Better go find another one. End of the game. And lo, Kirby banished Cthulhu to the depths of hell, where he was imprisoned for a billion more years.
I don't know what it is with those games, but...
Why I love Kirby.
Yeah, because I think everyone can agree Kirby's games are just... Mwah.
There has never been a bad Kirby game.
No.
Literally, seriously, go for them all. Not one. So yeah, that update's out today, so if you've got Star Allies, get on it now. I'm honestly interested if we're going to get any more free DLC partners in the future, because I wouldn't mind seeing them, draw characters from some of the more recent games, like Return to Dreamland or Triple Deluxe. I think that'd be cool, because the Kirby series weirdly likes to celebrate its franchise a lot in its games, especially in recent years. There's always throwbacks to previous entries, old characters coming back as bonus bosses and stuff like that. I don't want to call it self-indulgent, but it's nice to see it be a bit referential. It's referential, but not in a really, remember this?
It's referential in the right way.
Yeah, exactly. This was a really big surprise. I'm really excited for this. Okami HD is confirmed coming to the Switch. Mm-hmm. It doesn't look like it's getting a physical release, though. From what I understand, it seems to be digital only, which is a bit of a bummer. But hey, Morokami, I ain't complaining.
I was about to say, you could definitely say, I can't say no to Morokami.
Yeah, and not only that, you will be able to use the touch screen and motion controls for the Celestial Paintbrush stuff. And I'm going to be honest, because I was going to... Okami HD tempted me, especially when I saw it going for really cheap, in like it was like 20 quid. Ooh. Like I'm like, oh my god, I'm almost tempted. But I held off because I first played Okami on the Wii, which many people would argue is a very inferior port for a few reasons, but I got too used to using the Wii remote for the paintbrush, and I can't imagine using just buttons for it. Now that it's coming to Switch, I have a perfect excuse to get an HD version.
And oh my god, would it look good on the Switch.
It looks so beautiful. So yeah, Okami, yes, it came up, Okami HD for Switch, and I was like, fine, I'll buy it again. So
I think Okami's one of those games where everyone just goes, well, we've got to buy it again now.
Pretty much, yeah. Well, yeah, because they ain't making a sequel anytime soon.
No.
So it's great. It's great to see it's you know, still getting the love after all these years. Kind of
deservedly so.
I'd imagine all the people that fell in love with it when it first came out on the PS2 are probably just like basking in it now. Like, yes, more people playing it. Because it didn't do very well when it first came out.
No.
After that, it's there was a game called Sushi Striker, The Way of Sushido, which appears to be a puzzle game of sorts. We have to like map. It's a bit like one of those match three games. We have to match three or more types of sushi to then deal damage to your opponents. Did you see the trailer for it, James? Because
I can't remember it.
Because it looks so insane. It's like some anime bullshit story about a land where sushi is outlawed. And one young man wishes to bring the greatness of sushi to the rest of the world.
So wait, hang on. It's Footloose, but with sushi. Is what you're saying.
It's Footloose, but it's about sushi and it's an anime. Like, it has an anime opening song and everything, and the villains are all masked in shadow, and it looks so intimidating. It looks really goofy, and that's part of why it looks so appealing. It's coming out for both Switch and 3DS. It will feature multiplayer. No crossplay features, though, unfortunately. So Switch players and 3DS players can't play with each other online, unfortunately. But that's coming out June 8th. And
I may have to give that a look, because it just sounds so... dumb and ridiculous. I've got to give it a look.
The trailer, it does look pretty appealing. It does. I love how over the top it is. After that, now this was like, this is what I was looking forward to a lot. More info on Octopath Traveler.
Yes!
The new Square Enix RPG coming from the Bravely Default team. In fact, that's his official title now, because when the demo first came out, it was called Project Octopath Traveler. So we were like, oh, okay, like, working title. And then they decided, okay, we need to actually come up with a name for our game now. And someone just removes the word project from the title, and they went, perfect.
Perfect.
And
to be fair, it's not the dumbest name Square Enix has come up with.
What do you think is the dumbest Square Enix title for
Oh, God, let me get the list.
Because, like, my vote still goes to 358 Days Over 2. That's, like...
I think that's... That, Dirge of Cerberus, and a couple of others.
What even is a dirge?
A dagger, I think, which doesn't fit because Vincent uses a bloody gun. So dumb.
Also, isn't Vincent a vampire? Cerberus is a reference to the
three-headed dog
from hell. They're not connected at all.
What I'm trying to say is Square Enix don't know how to name things very well.
Them and like the Tales of games are sort of like
Oh god, Tales and the Y series as well. What? They're just as bad.
What the hell is a Vesperia?
Hey now, remember, it's not as good as Berseria.
Yeah. Or Zillia. Seriously, what's a Zillia?
Ziphonia.
Yeah, I can make up a Tales of TA right now.
Yeah.
Tales of Shamansha Balara. Okay, that was clearly fake.
Tales of Zillia. Oh, wait, that is another Tales game.
Yeah, I just said it. Tales of Godzilla. Anyway...
Moving right along.
The Octopath Traveler section was hosted by the game's producer, Masashi Takahashi. And here he revealed two new characters for the game, because, like, obviously the gimmick of Octopath Traveler is that there are eight unique characters, each with their own individual stories. I won't talk about it much, but I did play the demo when it first came out. Mm-hmm. In fact, you were there when
I played.
Yeah,
I was there when you bought.
And we both agreed it was amazing. It was a lot of fun. And,
Just the soldier alone was just...
Yeah, the two characters were...
Dueling everyone and then get beaten by the shopkeeper.
Yeah, okay, slight tangent. I need to talk about this. It's the fact that the demo only had... You could only play as two of the characters, which were
Olberic,
the warrior character, and oh, what was the dancer's name? Primrose or something?
Primrose, yes.
Yeah, and every character depends because every character has their own unique class. They have their unique field abilities. So Primrose, for example, could go up to any NPC and charm them so that she could call upon them in battle, which is like really cool. And I'm not joking when I mean almost every NPC. I think the only NPCs it doesn't work on are like the guy you go to save the game. And I think that was it. And so with Ulbrich, is that you could go up to any NPC, minus the save guy, and challenge them to a duel. And the part of Ulbrich's like demo section is obviously the beginning of his story, where he's just like, you know, he's exiled himself. He's now just a guy living in a village, but he trains the local soldiers to help protect the village. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, teach the soldiers some stuff. So you duel the two soldiers in order to, you know, test them up. And they're pretty easy. They're like level one. They take them out pretty easily. You have the option, though, to go around dueling all the other villagers.
Everyone else.
And like, I did that out of curiosity. So I'm wailing on all these innocent
you
villages.
You taking out the village you were supposed to protect.
I'm this expert soldier from like a previous kingdom. And I'm just like beating up all these villages and going, oh, good training today. Thank you, sir. But the funniest part of all was that one of the characters you can challenge, because there's this little kid character who's like, gee whiz, Mr. Ulbrich, I want to be just like you when I grow up. You know, they're probably like, oh, you're like... So
one day
you're so endearing, small child. I'm sure you won't get kidnapped later on. Anyway, you can challenge not the small child, but his single mother to a fight, and she's tougher than the soldiers. She puts up more of a fight than they did. They were like level one, she was level three. I'm like, I didn't lose, but I'm like, she's kicking my ass a little bit here. And then you try to challenge the innkeeper, who's level 8 and is only weak to fire, and you don't have any fire attack. So she decimated me. I'm like, oh my god, don't mess with the innkeeper.
I love it. You're just wading through all of these people, and then suddenly this door opens. You see this red aura around this woman innkeeper coming towards you. Just the red eyes coming.
Is this the power of Ultra Instinct?
Oh, God.
This simple barmaid has surpassed her limits. Anyway.
Is this the work of an enemy stand?
No, if they put stand in Octopath Traveler, it'll be an instant 10 out of
10. Oh, my God.
But, well, to be fair, we've only got, like, 4 characters confirmed so far. One of the other 4 could
considering
one of them's Jotaro.
Considering Bravely Default pretty much is Final Fantasy, and it had summons as well. We might have someone who can summon creatures.
Oh, that'd be cool, actually.
So,
but not one of the. They confirmed 2 new characters in the Nintendo Direct. One of them is Tressa, the merchant. Her special action is that she can go up to NPCs and buy special items from them that other characters might not be able to acquire. And I'm like, that's cool.
Handy.
It's gonna be interesting to see how she fights, though, because she's just a merchant. So. Hmm. That'll be interesting.
And then again, so was Anna from Fire Emblem. She was kick-ass.
Yeah, fair enough. And Anna is like the best character in Fire Emblem, so... and the other character was Alfin the Apothecary. And I had to look up what an apothecary was, because I'm like...
Aww. What?
And,
the hell's an apothecary?
I think he's someone who goes around... I think he's a medicine man.
I was about to say, apothecary is like it was a very old version of like a medicine man. Made like medicines, think of like herbalist,
yeah,
stuff like
exactly.
That.
Yeah, exactly. And his... This was actually, I think this is a pretty cool ability. He can go up to NPCs and acquire special info that other characters would not be able to acquire. So like the little example they gave in the game, in the demo they showed, was he spoke to an NPC and was able to, as a result, get cheaper lodgings. So he wouldn't have to pay as much money to rest at the inn.
That's cool. So that's, but what's that got to do with apothecary?
I think the idea is the fact that because he's so... calm and gentle and like a very welcoming sort of individual, that people are more privy to get exchange like more private info with him.
Wouldn't that make him more of a bard or a rogue?
That's probably one of the other characters. Look, I'm not the guy who made Octopath Traveler, James. I didn't know what an apothecary was until a couple of weeks ago, so don't come asking me, like, don't question me about this. Anyway, but this was like I think probably the biggest bit of info we got from it, though, was because the thing that I gleaned from the demo is that for the most part, every character, when they go for their own individual story, I'm assuming they will team up with the other characters as their paths cross.
Yeah.
But for the most part, it looks like you only have one character in the party, that being whichever character you pick. So if you start as Ulbrich, you stay as Ulbrich for the majority of the game with no other party members. So I mean, and it feels like the game is balanced to sort of accommodate that, seeing as how most RPGs, you have like a whole party with you. So it doesn't, I don't think you need to worry about the game getting too difficult too quickly. But the thing is, though, if you're only one party member and each party member only has, you know, one specific class, how do you deal with, like, different kinds of enemies and how they accompany it? And the way you get around that is that each character can acquire a second backup class.
So
take Ulbrich, for example. He can, if, since he's just a soldier, he's got that bit covered, but he could also be, he can learn how to be a merchant as well, or even a dancer. So yeah. It's not, there's no limit. Like, all eight characters can gain each other's class.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I'm going to make Ulbrich a dancer now as
well. Yeah, I know, right?
just hearing like Patrick's sight, it's like this really deep, powerful voice, and then just going, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, he's a dancer to buff his stats. It's like... So I think that's a pretty cool mechanic, having the characters able to take a second class.
Yeah.
To give them, like, more rounded abilities. And I think, where did I write down somewhere? Is that a... Yeah, they can acquire an additional job. That's all I put down. But I can imagine it would lead to like some pretty neaty, nifty combos.
Yeah.
And they've also got a release date. It's coming out July 13th. So I'm getting that.
Oh, yes.
Of course, they did confirm that a special edition of the game would be released. That would include like a map and a diorama and stuff like that. But, you know, what I was more interested in is that they did confirm that a digital soundtrack will be released at a later date.
Yes.
And I'm all on that.
I'm on that.
From what I sampled of Octopath Traveler's music, it's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm all for games getting official soundtrack releases.
Please, more. Please, more.
And if you're going to release them in other regions as well. Atlas.
Yes.
I'm still mad I had to buy the physical CD for Persona 5 soundtrack. It was there on iTunes, but I couldn't buy it because I wasn't in America.
I also say I'm glad that we're getting more RPGs on the Switch. Like, I want a lot more big RPGs on there.
Oh, look, well, we already got Xenoblade Chronicles 2 on there.
I know, but I want more. I want more!
Oh, wait, no, the phone, the thing's not working, so we can't play the soundboard. Damn it!
I know.
Daddy, I want it now!
After that, we got our first official gameplay footage of the new No More Heroes, Travis Strikes Again.
Yes!
Very different game to how it's pre... I mean, it's still fundamentally the same, but now it's all done from like a top down perspective rather than the behind the shoulder thing.
At first I thought it was like, oh, okay, so it's like a level within the game. Oh wait, no, it's the whole game.
I mean, it doesn't look bad. It looks fine to me. I'm not a No More Heroes fan, so I can't really comment on it, but I can imagine a lot of No More Heroes fans being a little bit iffy about the slight change. I mean, again, the gameplay still seems to be roughly the same. He's still got the beam katana, he's still doing the suplexes and the other wrestling moves. But I think it's just the perspective is now different. And of course...
Is there to get around the crappy camera angles in the previous two games?
Ooh.
I don't think that's that much of a hot take. I think everyone agreed that the camera was shite in those two games.
Send your angry emails. And of course, it probably might be more to accommodate with, like, you know, the whole plot of the game, which is very... No More Heroes has always been very over the top and wacky, but I think this is a... like a whole new level,
yeah.
Because the whole concept is Travis getting sucked into a game console, and each level is like a different type of game. So you've got like an adventure game and a puzzle game and stuff like that. There's apparently 7 of them. Each one's got their own boss, and the boss designs look decent from what I saw of them. They look like they fit the No More Heroes aesthetic. And
which makes me wonder, why is this? Because this is apparently like a mid-core between 1 and 2.
Yeah, it's set
which is like, what's the point then? If it's like, it doesn't even look like it's even set in the world. It's been set in a
I think that's the reason why they did it, because I think maybe they came up with the idea and they were like, well, how can we put this after No More Heroes 2? And it's like, well, we can't. Oh, let's just put it in between 1 and 2. And it'll be something that Travis just did in the meantime. And it's like, okay.
Okay.
I think a lot of people would have much preferred a straight sequel from No More Heroes 2, but whatever. And the other thing as well is that there is a confirmed co-op mode where a friend can play as a bad man who, if you remember from the announcement trailer, attacked Travis in his trailer to get revenge for his Travis killing his daughter, Bad Girl, in the first game. Which is like, okay,
yeah,
it's kind of interesting, I guess, but...
Imagine if you actually have to, like, fight each other at random points.
I think, like, that's meant to be the idea, is that the only reason why Bad Man's working together with him is because we're both stuck in the game, let's just break out, and then we can kill each other when we get out.
Which, obviously, because Travis survives to go into the second game, he's going to win.
Yeah. And yet he never mentions Batman in the second game.
It's almost like having a mid-core is a bad idea most of the time.
Yeah, but anyway. So that game's coming out 2018. So that'd be interesting to see what happens. I wonder how well it will do sales wise, because obviously
the first two didn't do so well.
A lot of people like really wanted the new No More Heroes, and now they're finally getting it. So I'm sure like the fan base is going to go out and buy it. And it doesn't look like it's going to be a bad game. I think it's one of those cases where the game's good, but it's just not what people
wanted. I can see it going either way.
Everyone in their head has, you know, No More Heroes 3, and they've not got that.
No.
Also, still bullshit that they didn't get Robert Atkin Downs back.
Yes.
Hashtag they did not matters.
They didn't even ask him to come back, which was
like dick
bullshit.
Dick move, guys. After that, though, onto slightly more happier pastures, I say, considering the game in question. Dark Souls Remastered.
The happiest game series ever made.
Yeah, so it's confirmed that there's going to be a network test coming soon, which will allow people to try out the game for the first time, which is, I think, is a pretty good idea of letting people who haven't played Dark Souls yet get a chance to give it a go.
Give it a go,
without fully committing. Because Dark Souls is one of those games where, you know, you have to devote yourself to it.
Yeah.
You can't just, like, go into it and play it, quote-unquote, casually.
Dark Souls is that game series where you will be just whacking your head against the wall, breaking it piece by piece until you finally smash through it. As Michael saw when I played Dark Souls 3 at his house.
Oh, yeah,
because you saw me fight the knight that turns into a bloody symbiote halfway through the battle.
Pretty sure you died like 10 times.
I died 10 times, but I finally got it. I just screamed out, "Yes!" And that was the first boss.
Yeah, that was boss one. Also, a lot of people were sort of slash expected, but we're still very happy to see it happen. We are getting a Dark Souls amiibo. It's
yes, of Solier, praise the sun.
Solier the Storer, yeah. And apparently all it does, though, is that when you tap it on the game, it allows you to perform that praise the sun gesture. And I'm like, really? That's it? That's all it does?
To be honest, man, I think people just want the amiibo.
I'm sure they do. Like,
I think that was a thing that people like, could just take in the mic out of, like, oh yeah, make an amiibo of Dark Souls, now it's coming to the Wii U, and then the Switch, and it's like, oh, it's actually coming.
It's like, shit. Now I actually want it. I am aware that a lot of people are like, yes, give it to me.
Give it.
And of course, now this means that Solaire's got a chance of being in Smash Brothers, but...
I'm trying to remember even if Solaire's that important. Like, I think he was only in the first game and not even that...
Oh, really?
Not that massively important.
Not a Dark Souls expert, so I wouldn't know. Like, I just saw the amiibo, and I'm like, okay, that exists. But release date confirmed to be May 25th. So not actually that far to go, only a couple of months. So I'd imagine a network test must be, like, next month.
Possibly.
After that, we then had, like, a little interlude where they talked about the new system they've got going for My Nintendo members, where... when you buy a game on the Switch, you can earn gold points. So you can register the game with your My Nintendo account and earn gold points. And they've now included a feature where you can redeem those gold points for digital downloads and DLC on the Switch, which sounds like a really good offer until you realize that the way it works is that for every gold point, you get a penny off. So it's almost not worth it unless you're buying literally every game that comes out. And the thing is that the gold points expire after a certain amount of time anyway. So it's not like you can save them up after a couple of years and like get some decent discounts. So
yeah,
I could have thought this one a bit better, Nintendo.
It's almost like the other thing. This is not linked to the direct. This is from a while ago where they're like, oh yeah, we're still going with the plan of you have to pay the multiplayer eventually. And it's like, you're going to take something away from people and make it paid.
Well, I think that...
I don't think this is going to work out.
Well, that was always the plan, because now people have been playing stuff like Splatoon 2, Mario Kart 8, ARMS Online for so long that the moment they then put it behind a paywall, it's going to be like, well, I enjoyed the online so much. Yeah, I'll do it. I'll put a subscription down.
It's either that and or people will get angry.
I know Sony and Microsoft have done it as well with the PS4 and the Xbox One, but I don't know. I've always found the idea of paid...
PC doesn't.
Paid online's always seemed like a little bit weird to me, considering it was free for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Wii didn't need it. The Wii U didn't do it. Like,
it's such a bullcrap. And especially because Pokemon is coming to the Switch. I've brought this up before. What's going to happen when they're like, oh yeah, I want to trade or fight people online? Oh, you're going to have to pay to actually do that. Really? Compared to all the previous games where I didn't have to do that?
It's probably going to succeed anyway, though, because there are going to be enough people there that are willing to fork up the subscription fee. I suppose it depends how much the subscription is.
Yeah. Still gonna be bored.
Like, if it was like, give us $1 a year for online, it'd be like, all right then. That sounds perfectly reasonable. There you go. That's not gonna happen.
No.
But anyway,
that is the wishful thinking.
Or they then go, so it's like plot twist. We're still keeping it free. It's like
ah.
But anyway, onto slightly more happier pastures. This was like actually what the Direct was advertising at. The one thing that we knew was happening with the Direct was we're going to get a good chunk of it dedicated to the new Mario Tennis game, Mario Tennis Aces.
Yes.
And we did get quite a bit dedicated to it. And I'm not going to lie, I'm kind of tempted to get it now. Because I did have Mario Power Tennis on the GameCube when it first came out. I barely touched it. And I remember watching Aces footage and I'm like, I kind of want to get Power Tennis out of the cupboard now and play it again.
And actually see what it's like.
Yeah, but...
Is it a chain chomp that's actually...
There's a playable like, chain chomp. Like, when that just popped up, I'm just like, yes.
The internet went wild over that.
It's like, a chain chomp. It's a chain chomp. Tennis.
His dreams have come true.
Such a good boy.
Such a good boy.
So, yeah, there's a... God, I wrote down so much about this. There was like... Because they were talking about all the different shots, because there's like new features where there's a zone shot where you can like... specifically aim where you hit the ball mm-hmm. with like pinpoint accuracy. The rackets now take damage so they can break. If your racket breaks, like your opponent gets a point. So that's got another element of strategy added on top of it. You can block zone shots, but of course doing so like you risk breaking your racket, though there is like if you perfectly time it, you can save energy, you can save health on your racket to stop it from breaking. There's a feature called zone speed, which is essentially Ultra Instincts. It's where like time slows down and you can move faster. So like if the ball's like on the other end of the court, you can use zone speed to get there in time to knock it back. Of course, all these extra like moves use up an energy gauge that's in like the top in one of the corners of the screen, so you can't spam it. You can fill it up by performing rallies against your opponents and like trick shots as well. If you completely fill the energy gauge, you can use the character's unique special shots. There is going to be an option though where you could take all that stupid bullshit away and just play a normal game of tennis, which I think is good. I remember watching when the Direct was coming out and they were going for all these different moves you could pull off, and I remember thinking that it was going to annoy a lot of people, but from what I can tell, the general consensus is that a lot of people are fine with these new additions because they seem to have implemented it in a way where it is strategic. It's not going to result in a whoever fills up their energy meter first is going to win. It's like...
it's not going to be one-sided. There is actually good element.
Do you save up all the energy for the special shot? Do you use it in increments for like the zone speeds and the zone shots and stuff like that? So I feel like you'll need to play the game and see how it all handles before we can completely decide whether it completely breaks the game or not.
And it's also optional.
Yeah.
There is the option to turn it off. So even if you're not a fan of it...
I'm pretty sure like previous Mario Tennis games have done where you can turn off all the crazy Mario bullshit. There is, of course, going to be online multiplayer and tournaments are going to be held. Like, I'm pretty sure they've done... Again, this is they're timing it with their online subscription now. Mm-hmm. They're going to suck people in with aces and then it's like, right now, give us money. Okay, you got us. Apparently, though, there is going to be an incentive for taking part in tournaments if you're not big on it. If you do so, you can earn special outfits for the characters and new characters. Like, the little silhouette they showed shows that Koopa Troopa is going to come back as a playable character.
Huh.
And I'm guessing... So I wonder if it's going to be a case of, is taking part in the tournaments all you need to unlock this stuff, or do you need to win the tournament or at least do well enough in order to gain these rewards? I don't think they didn't clarify on that.
It is to just taking part,
which would be cool. And like, I'm not going to lie, the special outfit stuff I find very appealing because all the characters, as you can see, well, not all of them, like DK and Bowser are omitted from it, but a lot of characters have new tennis outfits. So it's pretty cool that they have the idea of more costumes and stuff. I'd imagine you can have like, you know, Mario's normal overalls and stuff as an unlockable.
Mm-hmm.
I just like the idea of unlockable costumes becoming more of an in-game thing nowadays again.
Like Odyssey.
Yeah, like Odyssey.
Odyssey
like,
had so many.
No more of that buy our costume pack for $7.99 bullshit. It's like, yeah.
Atlas.
Actually unlock it, thank you. What else is there? There is also going to be an option where you can play with motion controls. I feel like that's there out of obligation more than anything. It's like... yeah, we all enjoyed Wii Tennis, but I don't think many of us are going to be wanting to play this game with motion controls.
Speak for yourself, I'll do it.
Oh, okay, shut me up then. they have also confirmed the game, it will be released June 22nd, which I think got leaked, actually. I remember there being a bit of Mario Tennis info leaked before the Direct happened. But this is like one thing I'm particularly excited about, is that they've confirmed there's going to be a pre-launch online tournament be made available to the public coming soon. We haven't got the official date yet, but I feel like this is a great, again, much like the Dark Souls test thing I mentioned earlier, great way of getting people who might not be sure to try the game out for themselves. They did a similar thing with ARMS, and I remember trying that out for myself, and I liked it enough where I was like, okay, yeah, I want to get ARMS. So I'm definitely going to be taking part in this just to get a feel for Aces.
It's almost like demos and allowing people to actually play the game before it launches is a good idea.
No!
God, I remember that ages ago. I can't remember which company it was, but they said, oh, like, demos don't help, and they just...
I remember, and then everybody went, that's complete bullshit.
No. You just don't want a bad game to get a demo.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's the same thing when I hear games companies say, like, oh, you can't release the review until after the game's out. That already sets off alarm bells in my head. Because that shows you're not confident enough.
It's the same thing like with movies, when it's like, oh, yeah, the review's not coming out.
I'm pretty sure every single example of a movie I've seen where they keep the reviews from coming out until
it's
the
shit. Film's out,
they're always shit.
But, every time.
So, yeah, I'm definitely going to take part in that tournament to get a feel for Aces, because it looks really fun to play. And hey, maybe like I'll actually pony up money for the online service if I enjoy it enough.
Maybe.
After that, this is a nice little surprise. Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker is getting ported to the Switch and 3DS. Once again, the Wii U losing another exclusive to justify purchasing it.
It's almost like the Wii U didn't do very well.
Literally, at this point, if Wonderful 101 and Tokyo Mirage Sessions get ported to Switch, the Wii U, like, you may as well not even have it anymore.
They might as well just treat like the Wii U never existed.
Yeah, although to be fair, I've not yet played Tokyo Mirage Sessions. It's been on my backlog for years, but I heard good things. It looks fun, but anyway.
What is Tokyo Mirage Sessions?
It was that Shin Megami Tensei Fire Emblem crossover.
Oh, that one!
The really anime-looking one.
Is that... Oh, that isn't coming to the Switch yet. Yes.
Not yet, that's what I'm saying. If it does, like... And again, Kamiya's been teasing a possible Wonderful 101 port, so... If those two go, then the Wii U is like, may as well, there's no point ever getting it in the future. But
to be fair.
Where was I? Oh yeah, Treasure Tracker. Game ported, going to have all the same content it has in the past, including new levels based on Mario Odyssey.
Like, nice.
They had like a little New Donk City level to show off, which I thought was pretty neat. And the Switch will have a co-op mode as well. I think the Wii U one did as well, but so co-op is always like a good thing. So I remember somebody said somewhere that it's a great... one of those great things you could play with your kid if you had one. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, you give them like the little thing to point at the screen to shoot like turnips or something at the enemy. So it feels like they're contributing, but they're not having to, you know, get really stuck into the middle of the game to deal with like complicated buttons or anything like that. Not that Treasure Tracker, I think, is an overly complicated game, I don't think. But that's coming out July 13th. And I think a lot of people who really enjoy Treasure Tracker, because I remember... I don't think it did amazingly well, but it did well enough for people to enjoy it. Like, people are already demanding Captain Toad for Smash, and I'm like, really? I don't know, I think Daisy's got a better chance than Captain Toad.
I think Daisy probably does have a better chance, but...
Yeah, but that's neither here nor there. After that, now this one really came out of nowhere. Undertale.
Now you have no...
Now,
excuse, Michael.
They confirmed it for the Vita and PS4 at last year's E3.
Yeah.
And I was going to get the Vita version then, but I think I just, like, forgot about it. And I wasn't, like, so desperate to get Undertale. I was, like, sort of willing to, you know, like, I'll wait a bit. And now they've said to come to Switch, and I'm like, shit, now I have no excuse. So, yes, I will probably get Undertale once it's out on Switch.
Yeah.
Leave me alone.
Now you better play it exactly like you're supposed to play it, otherwise people will get angry at you.
I know. But I did actually really enjoy the announcement trailer, because it's just like, hey, who turned out the lights? And then like the dialogue boxes for Sansa Papyrus just appeared.
Yeah.
And they're like... and it's them going like, who turned out the lights? Where's the Switch? And it's like, they turn it on. It's like, where's the Switch? By Papyrus. We're on it! And it's like... and it's like, Undertale coming to Nintendo Switch. Eventually. And it's, I'm like, oh, Toby Fox, you magnificent bastard. So yeah, no release date yet. I'd imagine it must be later this year or something.
Later this year, early next year, maybe. But...
I remember Toby Fox did say a long time ago that he did really want to get Undertale on a Nintendo console. Because I think the reason it never appeared on Wii U was just because it wasn't designed to be. Like, porting it over, it wasn't just a simple port job. You'd have to completely, like, rebuild the game or something.
I think it's also wasn't really designed for PS4 or Vita either. So I think that helped pave the way having it on other consoles.
And a cool thing is that now that's on the Switch, and now to deal with all the people demanding Sans and Papyrus for Smash Brothers now.
Yes! Oh, come on. Like, especially Sans definitely has a final Smash already, if you've seen his final boss fight.
I doubt it'll happen, but whatever.
Stranger things have happened. Let's be honest.
Yeah,
did anyone expect Bayonetta to get onto Switch?
I think Cloud was more surprising. But anyway, after that, this was something else that I think got leaked before the direct as well, but it was still really surprising to see it confirmed, was that the Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy is coming to Switch. Mm-hmm. I mean, Crash Bandicoot, even though he was one of Sony's main mascots, he has been on Nintendo consoles in the past. He had like a few GBA games.
Yes, he did.
A couple of his games were on the GameCube and the Wii. But I think this is the first time or at least a version of the original PlayStation trilogy has been on a Nintendo console. So this is kind of a big deal. It's like a crack. So yeah, I mean, it makes sense for them to do this considering how much of a money maker the Switch is. But it's still kind of surreal to see Crash on a Nintendo console in such a proficient way.
Hey.
And I'm going to be honest, I'd much rather see Crash's Smash Brothers now than the Undertale guys.
Why not both?
Both.
Or not all three.
both is good.
Now just do Spyro.
Yeah, I know. I'm here like, where the hell is Spyro?
Well, there was a thing a little while ago where apparently there was information that was meant to be announce the, the Treasure Trilogy?
Yeah,
that was
apparently meant to be that's getting announced later this year. But here's the thing though, like, I'll believe it when I see it.
Yeah, I'll believe when I see it.
I mean, I know Laura K. Dale reported the leak, and she's always been pretty trustworthy when it comes to these things. But I'm not like,
don't give
gonna get excited
up.
For. Like, oh god, which store chain was it? I think it was like GameStop or something, where there was
like,
a pre-order for the Spyro Treasure Trilogy came up, and I'm like, it hasn't even been confirmed
yet.
Why are people pre-ordering it? But I think they took it down though. So
I figure there was this was a couple of days ago. Apparently, a Star Wars open world game from EA has actually been leaked by one of the game stores.
I did hear about that. My favorite response to that is like a new open world Star Wars game
to get cancelled.
No, it was like new Star Wars open world game to be published by EA, and people went, "You lost my interest at EA."
Yeah. As soon as you said EA, nope, not interested
anymore.
Because
they did so well with Battlefront 2. Anyway,
I also say this though: if they do announce a Spyro, please, 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 don't use the design from Skylanders.
Oh, they
please.
Better. Oh, I hope not.
Please.
Oh, I hope not.
Spyro looks like he ran face first into the wall one too many times.
Yeah. Anyway, God, we got like 14 minutes still. Left.
We can do it. We can do it.
Okay, Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy coming out July 10th. After that, Little Nightmares Complete Edition is coming to Switch.
Oh.
Will contain all the DLC. It's like a puzzle to side scroller puzzle game.
Really creepy.
Like visually,
how much have you seen of it? Because
I only saw what they showed off in the direct, and that was enough for me to go, nope.
there's a bit like right near the end where you're like you're going on a table, and there's like these huge.
Oh, that's that swarm of people. Yeah, yeah. They showed that in the footage,
and it's like, oh my god, that's.
Yeah, and it's going to contain all the DLC. I'm not sure what that means because there's like two different stories to it or something.
Yeah,
but
they all tie into the main game.
I mean, aesthetically, it looks pretty amazing. Like.
I think its aesthetics is one of the best things about it. Its puzzle elements can be a little bit frustrating, but overall it looks like a really fun game.
My favourite bit, though, is the fact that you can use the Pac-Man amiibo with it to unlock a little Pac-Man mask for the character. like, that's cute. Okay, I'll give it that. And that's coming out May 18th. Not that far off. Like, the Switch has got a busy year. I remember we were all like, man, this is the first year Switch is doing so well. Oh god, I hope the second year doesn't screw it all up. And it's like, nope. It's not.
It's almost like the Switch is doing really damn well.
So well, in fact, that they're getting South Park The Fractured But Whole for the Switch as well.
Oh, dear.
Well, I mean, I'm not a South Park fan, so I can't comment on it. I've heard decent things about Fractured But Whole. I think the general consensus is that Stick of Truth was better.
Yeah.
But it's obviously still doing well enough to warrant getting a port. And the fact that it's on a Nintendo console as well, like, you know, we all talk about how Nintendo is a very kid-friendly market. But they have been getting slowly more and more mature games on it. And like I think South Park is kind of like the zenith of that.
Yeah.
You know, if Bayonetta arguably wasn't. But it's going to come with all the DLC. There's going to be a season pass made available as well. So you can get the season pass. So you'll get all the DLC as soon as it comes out. And that's coming out April 24th. Next month. So
yeah, not long
enough. Not much else I can say. Like I said, not a big South Park fan. There was another little short trailer for Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition. That's coming out May 18th. I'm so tempted, but no, I refuse, because I've still got Hyrule Warriors on Wii U.
I'm buying it.
Yeah, because you didn't buy all the DLC for the Wii U version, did you? I did. I'm not going to spend the same amount of money again just to buy shit I already own on another console.
Let's be honest, Michael. You will.
I don't want to.
But you will.
No, I don't want to. Stop it. No.
You will.
Like, I was really worried, though, when they did like the little Hyrule Warriors trial. I was like, don't announce any new content outside of those Breath of the Wild costumes. Please don't announce any new content outside of those Breath of the Wild costumes. And they didn't. So I'm like, thank God. Because if they had just said, by the way, the Switch version will include this one exclusive character. I've gone, shit, right. Fine, here's my money, take it!
Just remember, Michael, we've still got a couple of months until release.
They're not going to announce a new character for it this shortly. We'd be more likely to get a Hyrule Warriors 2 announcement. Oh god, don't announce Hyrule Warriors 2, please don't.
No. We get like a few weeks before release, and they go, and now we've got new characters for Hyrule Warriors Definitive Edition, and it's the four champions from Breath of the Wild.
Oh god, I'd buy that! Oh no! I've still barely touched Fire Emblem Warriors! God damn it. Anyway, after that, oh, they also announced they're bringing back the global test punch for ARMS. It's going to go on for 3 days, available from March 31st. So if you missed the first one and still not sure whether to get ARMS or not, give it a go. You may find yourself really enjoying it.
I'll give that a go.
Yeah, it's worth it. After that, there was then a bunch of stuff about Splatoon 2. I'm going to try and keep this short because it's all about like a European Championship finals happening on the 31st of March, actually, at a Polymanga 2018 in Switzerland.
I was going to say, we're not an esports group, yeah. So...
That being said, I know there's going to be a crowd for it. In fact,
definitely.
The event is also going to have a virtual concert with Pearl and Marina, you know, from Splatoon 2, and Callie and Marie as well are hinted to appear at it. Kind of like the Hatsune Miku virtual concerts they do. I won't lie, I kind of like to go to one of those just to see what it's like.
Yeah, because it'd be interesting.
Pretty cool, and I like the characters from Splatoon. I like their songs, even though they don't know what the hell they're saying. And it was also going to be live streamed as well. They then announced that version 3.0 for Splatoon 2 is coming late April. It would include over 100 pieces of new gear and new stages. Not 100 new stages, I should clarify. Here are 100 new stages for Splatoon. What the hell? There's also going to be a new rank called Rank X. It's now going to be the new highest rank of the game. So that's something they're like, you need to be expert player in order to get this. There's also going to be a new thing where if you meet certain conditions, you can have Callie appear at her Octo Valley, which is the single player mode stuff. I've admittedly already had this kind of spot for me regarding Splatoon 2, but like, I'm not going to say it here just in case, but like, considering Callie's not there for Splatoon 2 single player and Marie is, I think that's cute to bring Callie back. Because that was the whole thing. I don't know if you recall, the last Splatfest of Splatoon 1 was who's better, Callie or Marie? And, oh, that was a dark time. I can still hear the screaming.
Which one's Callie and which one's Marie?
Wow, racist much? You heard it here, folks. James is squid racist. Callie's the purple one. Marie's the green one.
Oh, okay.
Or if you need another clarification, Marie's the best one. Send your angry emails to Entertainment Don't Matter. Anyway.
But it's like I've not played much Splatoon at all.
Well, you should be playing Splatoon 2 because this one came out of nowhere. I don't know if you saw the trailer. Did you see the trailer for the...
Yes.
What was that? If you want to know what I'm talking about, Splatoon 2 is going to get new story DLC. It's called Octo Expansion, where you play as an Octoling, something that Splatoon fans have been wanting for a very long time now, even as early as the first game. And you play as an amnesiac Octoling, and you're in this underground subway that's full of test facilities. Apparently, there's going to be 80 of them. And it's all about, you know, trying to uncover this Octoling's memories. And it's like this real dark, grungy, heavy atmosphere. For some reason, Pearl and Marine are dressed up like Tupac and Biggie Styles, I think they are. The two rappers. No, look it up. They dress almost exactly like them. And
okay.
I really like the music they use for it as well. Very heavy and like, you know, it weighs on your soul. And it's going to include new story elements as well. And
it's the Dark Souls of the Splatoon universe.
Yeah, because the trailer says like it's going to include new story details that will change what you think you know about the world of Splatoon. And I'm like, are we going to get some like really messed up retcons? The trailer shows like these Octolings being grown in test tubes. I'm like, is Dr. Giroux trying to create Perfect Cell? Like, what is going on here?
You're a kid now, you're a squid. Now. Oh, dear God.
Turns out you're something else.
Entirely.
And if you complete the mode, or I don't know if you complete it or just playing it will do this, but you will eventually unlock the option to play as an Octoling in the online mode, which is cool. And it's going to be coming out in summer. You can purchase a season pass for it now and get some exclusive bonus gear for it. I'm willing to wait off because I've still not even beaten the main single campaign for Splatoon 2. Really enjoying it, though. I think it's a lot better than the first one. But not to say the first one was bad or anything, but... I'm getting a lot more out of the single player than I thought I was, seeing as
I think the first one was more... It was very obviously more multiplayer.
Yeah, I mean, Splatoon 2 is the same, but I feel like the single player is just a little bit more substantial. And
it's about to get a lot more substantial.
Yeah. And that was the end of it, or so we thought. Like,
you thought that was dark sounding.
But like, as they got to the end of it, I'm like, that's all we have for today. And I'm like, of course it is. Okay, bye guys. And then they went, oh wait, we have one more announcement. I'm like, you sons of bitches. And like, it starts off with what looks like a recreation of the original announcement trailer for Splatoon. And I'm like, okay, where are you going with this? And I'm there like, I've got an idea in the back of my head. Then I push it down going, no, that's not going to happen. They're probably going to port Splatoon 1 to the Switch or something. And then it's like, then the surroundings go completely dark. The Inkling girl is just there like, what the hell is it? She turns around, sees something glowing in the sky, has a look of horror on her face as we zoom in on her eye, and it's a burning Smash Brothers logo. And it's like this giant burning Smash Brothers logo is just there, and you see shadows of a whole bunch of the characters, including Mario and Link, with this ominous sounding, oh.
They look like the God Hand from Berserk. Sorry, I'll take like, there, but
you
yes.
came to the wrong neighborhood.
Like, literally, if I could play the music, I'd play the God Hand music right now. But yeah, they literally look like the God Hand from Berserk.
If I saw that in a dark alley, I'm like, I'm going to die. Mario's going to murder me. So, yeah, Smash Brothers, just out of nowhere. And this honestly kind of upsets me, because so many people were going, they buried on Smash Brothers at the Direct. And all of us were going, come on, guys. They're not going out Smash Brothers at this Direct. Stop asking for it. Wait till E3. And it's like, oh shit, Smash Brothers.
I remember you shared a tweet of that. Yeah. Just, and then you were like,
well, don't I feel foolish. But I ain't complaining, because Smash Brothers. And it's coming up this year.
And apparently, because of how it's been trademarked, by the sounds of it, it's not going to be a re-release of the Wii U version. It's going to be a whole new game.
I still sincerely doubt that. The fact that it's coming out this year, I still feel it's too soon for it to be a completely brand new game. And I feel like I'm terrified now that the people who are amping themselves up for a completely brand new Smash Brothers are going to get so mad when they reveal that it's just an updated re-release.
If it is just an updated re-release, I'll be happy.
I'm not going to say that their anger will be justified, because I'm going to be honest. If you're getting, like, if you get that wound up over it not being a new Smash Brothers, like, reconsider your priorities. And
also, include all the DLC from the previous
one. It's going to include all the DLC. This is my personal prediction. It's going to be a re-release of the Wii U version. It's going to include all the DLC. The Inklings are obviously going to be playable characters now. We may get 2 or 3 more new characters, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was feeling generous, I'd say maybe 8 new characters. But personally, I feel like we're only going to get like a couple.
Papyrus, Son, Solier.
Shut up.
Crash.
Unlikely, but maybe. But, yeah, it's coming for Switch.
Actually, though, we keep saying Sans and Papyrus. We never mentioned Goat Mum from Undertale. She should be in it, because she's awesome.
She wouldn't fight anybody. She just want to be friends with everyone.
But that's maybe the point. She's trying to be friends with them, but she keeps fighting them. Also, she can fight.
Yeah, but she doesn't want to.
But she can when
anyway,
she needs to.
Look, we're getting distracted. We've got 3 minutes, and I've still got a few quick things to say. Because I remember quite recently, actually, they did confirm that the new Smash Brothers is going to be playable at E3. So we're going to see it, and we're going to get a confirmation if it's brand new or portal. Oh,
portal.
I heard like a possible sort of in-between possibility is that they're going to go the route of Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3, where
the
base game is the same, but they're going to update the modes, maybe include some new ones. I'm just going to say right now, if we get a new story mode a la Subspace Emissary from Brawl, I will scream the heavens down, because I wanted it so bad from the last game and I didn't get it, and I think Sakurai's justification was complete BS. And
I love it if they actually you fight the final boss, he beats you have to go through it all again, and then you go, well, this sounds very familiar, and then Sonic comes in beats him.
No, that's the thing though, if they do like another Subspace Emissary mode with the amount of characters in it, imagine the cutscene potential. This is a game that has Ryu from Street Fighter, Cloud from Final Fantasy, Sonic, Pac-Man, Bayonetta, Shulk from Xenoblade Chronicles. Seeing them interact like not just fighting each other in gameplay, but actually interact in animated cutscenes and stuff. Please tell me I'm not the only one that wants to see that.
I do.
I want a cutscene of like Lucas fighting some enemies, getting his ass kicked, and then Bayonetta coming out to save him.
I still remember from the Subspace, a single player back in the day, with just Ganondorf just watching like, yes, and Master Hand in the background, and it turns out, nope, it's actually this other guy.
Dude, I love the cutscenes in Subspace Emissary. I don't care if that people hate that mode, I adore it for those cutscenes alone. I got to see Pikachu one-shot Ridley with a thunder attack. I got to see Solid Snake.
Yes.
Solid Snake becoming bros with Meta Knight and Lucario.
No.
I got to see Zelda and Peach be BFFs. Like, how can you hate this game? Anyway, but yeah, so Smash Brothers.
Smash Brothers, yo.
Can't wait. E3 is going to be amazing.
Oh.
And that's it. Yeah. Wrapped up perfectly. We did it on time.
We did it just in time. Even with a couple of tangents, we still just made it.
High five.
High five.
Well, can't reach from over here.
Yeah. Far away, high five. D. Yeah. Yeah, there we go. And we will play you out on nothing, because we don't have the thing on the phone, so we'll do that in post. So, this is James Hill saying goodbye.
This is Michael Becker saying goodbye.
We will see you next week, because I am free for next week. So, goodbye.
Goodbye.